1 Corinthians. We'll be looking at 1 Corinthians 11 for sure. We always examine that. We'll also be looking in Matthew as well. So this is the last Sunday in 2019. What a fitting way. What a fitting way to close out the new year. We just come off of our Christmas celebration. I know some of you are still recovering from that, but listen, what the baby has come, Christ has come, but also we do an ordinance this morning, which is the Lord's Supper, that we remember what he's done. The babe didn't just stay a babe in the manger, but grew into a man that would grow up sinless and give his life, just like we sang, hallelujah, the grave no longer has a grip on me because it did not have a grip on him. And so we sing about that this morning as we finish off this Sunday. I want us to think about what a great, we look back over our year, 2019, but also over our life and what Christ has done for each and every one of us this morning. And so I want us to stand on our feet in reverence of God's Word. 1 Corinthians, we'll be looking at in chapter 11. We will just be looking at verse 23, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. Word of God says this, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night which he was betrayed, took bread." Father, in Jesus' name, I pray, dear God, that you will be glorified through not only through the teaching and preaching of your word, but the partaking of your supper. I pray that you'll search our hearts, be glorified, for your name is worthy to be glorified, because we ask these things in Christ's name, and all God's people said, you may be seated. When we look at 1 Corinthians, we know that Paul and the church at Corinth was a young church, very vibrant, very growing, full of just people that had all these great gifts, and God was, Corinth was in a tough place where the Isthmian Games, all these things went on. It was a athletic town. We can all relate to that, right? Didn't anybody watch any football games yesterday, right? Yeah, that's what we do, right? This team, this place, Corinth, could relate to those kind of things. They were all in, and what the problem was, a lot of times if you're not careful, if you're steeped in athletics, there's a lot of what? Competition that goes on. We're always rooting for our teams and all that, but if we're not very careful, it'll carry over even into our lives. And as Christians, we can compete against one another. That's what these good people were doing, God's people. They had all these great gifts, and God was blessing them, and they were using it as a crown or a trophy, if you please. They were even taking the Lord's Supper and abusing it. And Paul, he's kind of trying to reel them back in as the father in the faith. He's trying to teach them this is what the Lord's Supper is about. This is what the Lord's Supper is not about. And so when we get to 1 Corinthians 11 and we start there in verse 23, he's trying to correct how they were doing it wrong. And he's saying, this is the way that I desire for you to do it. And he makes that statement. He says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you." And so I thought, well, what's he talking about there? If we turn over to Matthew 26, Matthew chapter 26, and let's just look for just a moment, Matthew 26, and we'll be looking at verses 26, just a couple. Matthew 26, verses 26, and this is the Lord Jesus. This is the King of Kings himself, and this is him, it's not Paul. See, Paul's saying, hey, we're instituting, this is how to do it, but I want you to know it's not me. I like that, because when we read the Word of God, it's not a man that stands up here behind a pulpit that's telling you this is how you should do it, but this is what the Word of God is commanding each and every one of us, which includes the man that's standing behind the pulpit. Paul, so kind of see that in this setting as he's teaching them. But the Lord institutes the supper himself here in Matthew 26, and listen what it says. Let's read this. "And as they were eating," we know that this is the Passover. This is the night before Christ will be crucified. "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and he gave it to the disciples, and he said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.'" Verse 27, "Then he took the cup, and he gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you. For this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remissions of sins. But I say
to you, this verse 29, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on, from now on with you in my, until I'm in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. So what Jesus institutes this which we are doing 2019, this last Sunday, the 29th of December 2019. Let me ask you this. How many things have you know of that's went on for 2019 years? We have our tradition, we have all these man-made things that we do, but how many of them last 2019 years? This was an ordinance from God Himself in Jesus. And He's commanding that. This is the last night. He's changing the Passover meal, which was a great institution. All the Israelites knew about it because they knew when they come out of Egypt that the blood, the angel of death had come over, and the blood was smeared across the door of all those that were God's children. And He passed over. Well, He's passing. He's changing the Passover meal from now on to the Lord's Supper. And here we see it, a bunch of Gentiles, not Jews, but God's children because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that for which we will partake today because of what He has done. Something real and relevant. You want to see something that's not outdated? Oh, that's an outdated book. Oh, it does have no relevance for today. Guess what? 2019, you see the relevance of it. And here we see it, God's children. And it'll continue on until He returns. Why? Because He said it. And we do it because He commands us to do it. And so it's so important when Paul makes his statement over back over in 1 Corinthians 11 now. You see, he said, "For I received from the Lord that which is also delivered to you." Guess what Paul's saying? Paul's letting them know this is not Paul's way of doing it. Even though he was their father in the faith, he's letting them know. And I want you to know today, we're not doing this because Pastor David says we're going to do it. We're doing this because the Lord Jesus commanded it. And He said, you do this, and we'll see that you do this in what? In remembrance of me until I return. Has He got back yet? I promise you, you'd know. He's not returned, but He will. Just like He came the first time, just like we celebrate, still have our Christmas decorations up for a few more days. Just like we celebrated Him coming the first time, He will come again a second time. My question for you is, are you ready? You celebrated Him coming the first time, and maybe they didn't even think about it. Maybe it didn't even occur to you. Just know the babe, it's Jesus' birthday, or whatever your traditions be, but that was the God-man. He came for a purpose. He came to seek and save that which was lost. He came to seek and save you if you're lost. We learned in our Sunday school class today that all religions, talking about, you know, the world that you live in today says all religions are the same. It's the same God. Just believe the way that you want to believe. That is the greatest lie. Because Jesus says Himself, we even read in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and what? No one comes to the Father except by me. Now listen, I can say as a human being, I have studied out other religions. This is not something that I just did and didn't study out to see. I want you to know something. The Lord Jesus is the only way to the Father. No other way. Why? That's His statement. That's not mine. And when you understand it, then you say, accept this for the truth, you will understand that He's the only way. The only way you can be delivered from your sins. Listen, Buddha couldn't do it. He's in a empty grave. Confucius didn't do it. His bones lay in a grave. Only Jesus resurrected. He's the only God-man that's ever walked this earth. You say, well, everybody else feels the same way. Yes, but theirs is not based upon a truth. Jesus said, I am the what? The way. I am the truth. Truth is a person. Truth is not what we expect for it to be or what we think that it is. Truth is a person, and His name is Jesus. When He sat before Pilate, Pilate said, what is truth? You remember that statement? Man has been searching for truth for a long time. We're not any different. He said, what is truth? Well, I want you to know something. Truth sat right before Him in the form of a person. His name was Jesus. You can be sitting here looking for truth this morning, and it can be right in front of you, just like Pilate, sitting right before him, and he misses it. Because in his great intellectual mind, he didn't realize that the truth was right there in the form of Jesus, God in a body, sitting before him. Now that's sad. But it's very easy that somebody could be in this room today that's the same way. You're looking, you're searching. Oh, you've been down the road of nothingness. Oh, it's all about nothing. It's just becoming. Or how about the Force, like in Star Wars? We just become one with the Force. And yet, in your heart, you know something's missing. How can you say that? Been down that path. You know something's missing. Why? Because you're not fulfilled. You're searching. You're seeking. Jesus said, if you seek me, what did you say, Lee? You'll find me. Seek in the right place. Don't let truth sit right before you and overlook it. So we see back in 1 Corinthians 11, 26, 23, when he says, for I received from the Lord Jesus that which I also delivered to you, that on that same night in which he was betrayed. Why would Paul use such a statement right here? On the night in which he was betrayed. Why? Because he wanted you to know that he was, and he is rejected. And I want you to know something. When you don't accept him, you betray him. And it can go on every day. Betrayal. And he makes this statement of all things he could have said. He said, on the night he was betrayed. You see, that very night of the Passover becoming the Lord's Supper, Jesus had washed old feet. He got up and girded himself and washed feet. And the very man that's going to betray him, he knew as God exactly what was going to happen. His friend that betrayed him with a what? With a kiss. That those that understand and hear the truth and reject it might as well be giving him the kiss of betrayal. He makes that statement, and so I want you to understand how important that it is this morning when we partake of this. And look what 24 says. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, take this and eat. This is my body which is broken for you. And then he makes a statement, do this in remembrance of me. So he takes the bread, and Paul's just quoting what Jesus was doing. He takes the bread, and he breaks it, and he gives it to him, and he says, take this. This is my body which was broken for you. And then he makes that little statement, do this in remembrance of me. Why would he make such a statement? Why? Because we forget. We forget. That's why 2019 years, here we are still doing it, because Jesus knew if we don't do these things and we don't stop our busy hustle and bustle life, we'll forget why we're here and the reason that we're here. This is not some tradition that we just meet and go through on Sunday morning. Well, I think I'll go where I don't think I'll go. This is the living body of Christ that comes and meets and worships the one true God through Jesus Christ. And he doesn't have you. And if you're visiting here, make yourself at home if you're one of God's children. If you're not one of God's children, boy, today would be a great day. His arms stand open. But we meet for the purpose of worshiping the one true God through Jesus Christ. And he puts each person here. It's not just a chance coincidence, even though you might have said, well, I just wanted to give South Fork a try. He don't have any coincidences. You're here this morning because he wants you to hear his word. You believe that? God's in control. And he's here today. And you know what? On the last Sunday of 2019 might be the greatest day of your life if you'll just surrender yourself to him. There ain't no use in fighting it. Why? What kind of foolish person would choose death over life? He goes on to say, look in 25, which we're going to do these things. We're going to partake of this in a minute. I pray that you can just get the gist and the magnitude of it. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink in what? In remembrance of me. This is not a routine, a ritual. This is not something we do, but it's because we're Baptists and that's what we do. This is something the Lord Jesus said, I want you to do this and remember me and what I've done. What has Christ done for you? What has Christ done for you? He gave his life for you. Now, here's the deal. You say, well, I don't know if I believe that or not. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the truth of God's word. It says he came to this earth and he gave his life as a ransom for you. And all you have to do is to give. Christmas time. At Christmas morning, whenever you got up and you're celebrating these gifts that you give out, did you tell the kids, okay, you got to give me $20. Give me $20. I'll give you this gift. That's not a gift. In fact, the scripture says the wages of sin is what? Death. The wages of sin is death. What is a wage? We earned it. We all know you let that wage not come in, whether it's weekly, bi-weekly, or monthly. I promise you, you'll get very upset. Why? Because you earned that wage wherever you were. Jesus said the wages of sin is death, or Paul did in Romans. But then he said, but the gift of God. It's what? Eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. That gift, just like you received those gifts on Christmas morning, that gift stands open to you. All you have to do, you don't have to earn it. That's a wage. All you have to do is receive it. I want you to know something. That's the greatest gift you'll ever receive. You might have got some of the best presents you've ever got in your life. And you might have celebrated, but I want you to know the greatest gift still waits if you hadn't received it. And that's Jesus. All he's saying, listen, come unto me, all you who are weary, heavy laden. You know what he said I'll do? I give you rest. It's time to rest. Rest in his promises. He says this, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. So as we finish this, let's think before we partake. It says, why do we do this? For recollection. To remember that we understand and we remember. For proclamation, he says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do what? You proclaim, proclamation, the Lord's death until he comes. Because that last word would be what? We do it for recollection, for proclamation, but also anticipation. What does he say? Till the Lord's death, till he I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to him coming. I am. If he came right now, hallelujah. But I want you to know something. If he comes right now and you are not saved, you're lost. And condemnation rests upon you. And as sweet as heaven is as reality of hell awaits those that reject Jesus. And so, my thing is, Lord, I'm torn. I'm torn. I want you to come, but I also want you to save somebody before you come. I want you to give them one more chance, Lord. One more chance. Why? For 28 years, he gave me a chance. I was lost. And going to hell separated from God. And for 28 wonderful, graceful years, he waited until I received him as my Savior. Woo! And he's waiting today for you. Just hold off, Lord. Just save one more. So I'm torn this morning. Come quickly. But show grace. How do you reconcile those two things? 27 through 30. And we'll partake. This is where it gets pretty down to the core of things. Please listen. This is God's word, not mine. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Did you hear that? 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. 29, For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Look what 30 says. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Do not partake of this Lord's Supper if you know you're not saved. You've never received it. Do not. Why? The Scripture, what did it just say? You bring judgment on yourself. Do not partake of this if you're living in sin. If you're a Christian and you're living in sin, do not partake of this. Why? It says it brings judgment on you. I don't know if you've ever been to a Lord's Supper or communion when you've heard the pastor say this. It's not the pastor saying it. It's what you just read in God's Word. Did you understand that? Please. Why? Because one day, if you stand before the Lord in judgment, I don't want you to say, well, he never told me. He never told me. How do we partake of it worthily? If you're not saved, you receive Christ as your Savior. How do I do that? You just ask him to forgive you. You say, Lord, I realize I'm a sinner, and I need him, and I'm asking you to come into my life right now and save me. I'm repenting. And you receive, the Bible says, all those that call upon the name of the Lord will what? Will be saved. If you're living in sin, you ask God to forgive you and you turn from it. I'm not saying just to get by for this supper and then you go back to living the same old way. That's not repentance, by the way. I'm saying be real and be ready. Why? Because this is very important. This is not a routine. This is not a ritual. This is God. And he's saying, this is how I want you. So, Sarah, come and play a little bit as we're getting ready, and we'll make ready to receive the Lord's Supper. If I have my deacons to come forward, please. a small thing that you hold in your hand can mean so very much when we think about what it stands for. It said that when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take ye, this is my body which is broken for you. Do in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup.
Us grew up believing at any moment we could lose it all, and at the drop of a hat, God might turn his back and move on. A lot of us feel like we blew it, thinking that we're just too far gone, but I want you to know there's still a hope for you now. No matter what you've done, you can't erase his love. Nothing can change it, you're not separated, no matter what. There's never been a better time to get honest. There's never been a better time to get clean. So come as you are, run to the cross and be free. Oh, be free. No matter what you've done, you can't erase his love. Nothing can change it, you're not separated. No matter where you run, he's always holding on. You're still a daughter, you're still a son, no matter what. Don't know what you've been taught, don't know what you've been told. All I know is my God will never let go of you. Seen, don't know what you've been through. All I know is my God will never let go of you. Will never let go.
wash away my sin. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. He's saying, this is the cup of the new covenant of my blood. Do this as often as you drink in remembrance of me. Sarah, play softly, please. Stand to our feet as we finish off. Just be a terrible, terrible shame to end this service without giving somebody the opportunity. If you couldn't partake because you're lost, shame on me if I do that. Why? God's Spirit's here this morning, man. I tell you what, I can feel Him working. He's working on somebody. I don't know who it is. Please, I beg of you, don't miss it. Don't turn Him away. Don't be like me for so many years of my life. Receive Jesus. Shut your eyes before the Lord. Would anybody be brave enough? Say, that's me. That's me. Come to Christ. The altar's open. Come to Christ. Come now. Don't put it off. He's waiting. He shed His blood. He gave His body for you. Truth is, you don't even have to walk an aisle. You don't have to make a movement. All you have to do is right where you're standing is saying, I receive, the Holy Spirit's dealing with me, Lord, right now. I receive that repentance. I receive that forgiveness for my sins through repenting of it, turning to you, Lord Jesus. The Bible says you'll turn to Him. He'll save you right where you're at. You don't have to go through a routine or walk an aisle. It's being saved. It's coming to that understanding the Holy Spirit of God has revealed your sin and the way to be delivered from it. The Bible says you call upon Him, He'll save you. Whatever He's wanting to do. I'm going to give Him just a second. Why? We ain't in no hurry. He could return at the next breath. Without Him, I could do nothing. Boy, life would be hopeless, wouldn't it? Like a ship without a sail. Jesus. Thank you, Sarah. Look here. I love you. If you're not saved, you need to talk more about it. I'm here. That's why I'm here. Why? Because that's closest to my heart. If you have anything that you need to talk to me about, please let me know. I love you. Pray for you. Don't miss out on the greatest thing that's ever been. That's Christ. Well, we won't have service tonight, fifth Sunday, and then we're off Wednesday. What does that mean? That means you better come back that next Sunday, all right? Don't get slack on me. Start the 2020 in a brand new wide open for the Lord. Because God's not only saved you. If He saved all those that are here as professing to be saved, He's called you, too, to be a mouthpiece for Him. This world needs Christ. This world's desperate. You have the answer. How bad is it for us not to share the answer to the world's problem? I'm telling you what, I'm so full I'm leaking everywhere. God's good. Lee closes in prayer.